We have a lovely topic. Helping women who struggle with pornography. I heard about one pastor's wife who told a young woman who was seeking help for a pornography addiction. The pastor's wife said, "That's ridiculous. Only men are addicted to porn." Well, that's not true. Nothing could be further from the truth. The statistics are alarming about women's pornography use, but it's clear that it is a real and present danger and getting worse. The internet has certainly had caused an explosion in that kind of thing. There's a gal named Crystal Raynaud, and her ministry is called Dirty Girl Ministries. She writes that it's common for women to think, "I thought I was the only one." And unlike for men, the addiction to porn in women is not so much about how it makes her feel physically, but how it meets her emotional needs. Now I'm going to read a brief testimony of a gal that I counseled. She said, "It all started out very innocently, playing a game on the computer. I played with a Christian family, my sister and my sons. I had a character who interacted with others from all over the country. I made friends with several people and one person in particular. We had been friends for over a year, and then our conversation started turning more personal. He was a married man, not happily married." Now, she's assuming he's telling her the truth. Okay. "Not happily married. His wife had cheated on him, so this seemed to be his justified outlet. Little by little, our conversations became more intimate. We progressed from chat during the game to email and cell phone interactions. I liked having someone to share personal stuff with, and it didn't feel as wrong as it would have been if we were in person. Since he was in New York and it was just the internet, it was easier to make excuses. I really struggled with what I was doing. I knew it was wrong, but I couldn't seem to say no or to at least turn him away. We engaged in sexual talk and texting, and I was addicted." So they were having cyber sex is what they were doing. "Finally, I confessed my sin to my sister and Martha Peace so that I would have," and her sister drug her over to me, by the way, "so that I would have someone other than myself to hold me accountable. I slowed down until I finally made the break completely and deleted all available resources. The Lord has been gracious to forgive me and to slowly remove the desire from me. With time, it has gotten easier, and thankfully, I do not wish to try to contact him." So in this workshop, this section, I want to do several things. Give you some typical examples of secular Christian psychology helps. Whenever I'm doing research on a subject that I'm going to be teaching on biblical counseling, I want to see what the secular people are going to say, or the Christian psychologists, secular people are going to say. And then in thinking of this, I divided it into four phases. Counseling phase one, biblical principles on mortifying the flesh. Counseling phase two, confession and accountability. Counseling phase three, what to do with the card catalog of images and romance scenarios that come to mind. Counseling phase four, dying to self and becoming consumed with the glory of God. And then resources I recommend and resources I don't recommend. So let's start with the Christian psychology help. Transformations Treatment Centers. This is a secular option, but it has a Christian option with it. It's based on the medical model. If you look it up on the internet, They say things like, we know you are in pain, we can help. Sexual addiction is a compulsive and escalating pattern of sexual behavior acted out despite negative consequences. Signs of sexual addiction include indulgence in pornography, multiple anonymous partners, cyber sex or phone sex, or any unsafe sexual activity. Addicts may suffer emotional, physical, financial, and even legal harm due to their addiction. Relationships can be destroyed. Sexual addiction progresses in the same manner as alcohol and drug addictions. Small actions and activities cease to satisfy a need, so more and more stimulation is needed. An innocent peek at an internet porn site may have turned into an obsession that has divided you from your partner and interfered with your career and your health. And then they say, well, basically they counsel two ways. One-on-one counseling to identify the underlying issues that cause the addiction. And then they have 12-step meetings to learn how to identify stressors or triggers. And then their Christian option in this program, you pay a lot of money for this program, by the way, Cloud and Townsend's book, Boundaries, When to Say Yes and How to Say No. Then they have Christ-centered 12-step progress, Celebrate Recovery, traditional 12-step meetings, Inner Healing Church Communion, or you can even be baptized. So, Roman numeral number 3, Biblical Counseling Phase 1. Now, you're going to notice that a lot of what I'm telling you is going to apply to just about any sin that's habitual. And most sin is habitual. The first one is teach biblical principles on mortifying the flesh. Now, I'm going to assume that you've really gone into the gospel and they have, as best you can tell, been born again. All right. And I'm not going to have time because I've given you so much material to read all these scripture. But I read a book by Arthur Pink, and the title was The Doctrine of Mortification. So I adapted some of these principles from his material. Point A, to mortify the flesh means to discipline the natural desires and appetites of the physical body so that they are our servants and not our masters. To discipline the natural desires and appetites of the physical body. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27 and Romans 6, 4 through 7. Point B, unmortified sin is against the whole design of the gospel. It is as though Christ's sacrifice was intended to indulge us in sin rather than redeem us from it. And there are those who really teach they're out of balance on grace. And it's like, okay, you sin, but, you know, let's just talk about your grace. And they don't talk about mortifying your sin with God's help, God's grace. All right, that's 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20. Point C, there is a ceaseless conflict in the saint between indwelling sin and God's grace. We always fight our tendency to sin from the time we get saved to the time we go to be with the Lord. Galatians 5:17. Point D. Though risen with Christ, their life is hid with him in God, and certain to appear with Christ in glory, the saints are nevertheless exhorted to mortify their members which are upon the earth. Colossians 3:1-5 and verse 8. This is a battle that we fight, but I tell my counselees, you should be able to look back from the time you got saved until now and know that you are